And now, since that time, is there anything out there that says, has anybody said, okay, we believe the autism is a result of this surgery, or no, not really?
I haven't seen anything like that.
Okay.
I think most people think autism is from that MMR shot that the kids get.
Well, Jennifer, it's interesting that you say that, because in probably the course of the last month or a little bit over a month, I've seen a couple of different things. Some people coming out saying, you know, absolutely not, we have to put an end to this notion. And yet there was just a case where seemingly there was a vaccination that did have an impact. So it's some people say, you know, definitely no, and yet other people still feel that that's a possibility. So it just seems like a question.
I don't really know where it came from or why it came. I'm just absolutely thankful that it's not any worse than what it is, because I've seen other autistic children that are absolutely cannot function, and my kids, they can. So I'm just thankful that it's not as bad as it could be. So.
Sure. And you mentioned hand slapping. Other things that would be considered signs, more recognized signs of autism, are there other things, like, for example, if I ran into you in the grocery store and something made us start chatting and you had the girls with you, what is there anything that would be more immediately recognizable to people?
They would, they'd likely pay absolutely no attention to you.
Okay.
They're just, I don't know if it's because they're twins or what, but they don't pay attention to strangers a lot. Can you hold on 1 second?
I can.
Yeah? Why am I on the phone with the magazine?
That was my third call to make sure I got on the phone with you.
Oh, okay. and actually, that might, as a mother, that might feel okay to you if they're not paying a lot of attention to strangers.
Yeah, it does, but, you know, I haven't reached that worry about strangers part yet.
Yeah. Jennifer, do you have a call at 2?
Do I have what?
Do you have another interview at 2? At 2 o'clock?
Oh, I do?
I'm asking.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying you do. If you don't, I'd like to continue. If you do, I want to make sure we don't go past 2.
I don't know about another one.
Okay, good. Then that means we have, that would be good. We have some more time.
Okay.
So, did you, actually, 2 things. Can we talk with your mom? Would you be comfortable with that?
Yeah.
And what number could I use to contact her?
706.
Uh-huh.
202.
Okay.
4375.
And her name?
Sarah.
Okay. Okay, so we'll go ahead and be in touch with her, too. Now, specifically for your job, you're just saying was it the last month or so that another woman came and is involved in the work you've been doing?
Yes, she's going to take over for me.
And what will you then do?
I'm going to go home.
My
time is done. I've been out here for 7 months.
Okay. When do you get to go home?
I leave at the end of the month.
Oh, wonderful. And then...
I know.
Are you... What's the future plan? Are you going to be redeployed, or what do you know about that at this point?
I don't really know right now when I'm going back out again, but I'm sure it'll be again.
Okay.
I just don't know when.
Okay. When you... So are you treating people within the military population and then also the civilian population?
Yes. On base, I treat, and all the active duty people, we take care of all the civilian contractors that work on board. All the female interpreters come and see me because I was the only female.
Yeah.
So if they have medical needs, they come and see me. And then I go out into the cities and the villages and take care of the women and children, the Iraqi women and children.
What's that been like for you?
Oh, I've absolutely enjoyed it. So the first time I went out, it was a little scary and terrifying, but it's a lot of fun to get out there and meet the women, and they're so gracious that we come and that we were able to bring them female care, because there are really no women doctors in Iraq. So when they find out that I'm coming, they show up.
So was it the case that there were female doctors before and now there aren't with all that's gone on? Or
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I know that a lot of the Iraqi doctors left the area when the war started, so
this would be a really big deal. Your arrival would matter a whole lot.
Yes. It is.
And
it's huge.
And boy, oh boy, how that must feel for you.
It's exciting. A lot of the women know me by my first name now, so they know when I'm coming out, and they're expecting to see me, and they know that I'm going to bring them medication that they need. So,
now, when you leave, obviously you have a priority, and that's getting home to your girls. Is it going to still be difficult in some ways to leave what you're doing?
It will, because I really enjoyed going out to see the women and the children and talk to them. So that's really the part that I'm going to miss the most.
Mm-hmm. How many, Jennifer, as far as seeing people with disabilities and special needs, how often do you encounter that?
Almost every time I go out, there's always a child that has Down syndrome or cerebral palsy, or I had a set of twins the other day that were 8 months old but were the size of a two-month-old because they're not thriving.
Oh, wow.
Mom doesn't have enough milk to give them, so they're not making it.
Oh.
So I see some pretty intense stuff out there.
How do you handle that?
It's hard because I know that in the States I could get it taken care of, but out here there's not a lot to do, and, you know, there's not much that I can do except refer them over to Baghdad, and a lot of them don't want to go to Baghdad.
Oh.
Either can't make the trip or they're afraid to make the trip.
And so whatever, however it plays out is how it plays out then.
Yeah. So that's kind of heartbreaking, knowing that when I leave them or when they walk out of the office that I'm in, that's it. They're not, that's how they're going to be the rest of their lives, and there's nothing I can do about it.
I guess one of the things that I'm struck by, obviously you and I aren't sitting across from each other, and we've only spent a little bit of time on the phone, but probably a word that I would use to describe what I seem to be hearing, not just in your words, but in your tone. I mean, obviously you're talking about challenging things, but would you say equanimity would describe you?
I don't know what that means.
Like
you're using big words. If it's not on the Disney Channel, I don't know what it means.
That's great. I'll pick a different word, and you know what? I'll sing it to you, too.
Okay.
Like for the Disney Channel. No, seriously. Kind of a sense of calm, a sense of collectedness. Is that accurate?
I like to think so.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Because, these things that you're describing are very, very challenging, and you use the word intense, too. And it sounds like you're saying, yes, they affect you, but it almost sounds as though on some level you recognize what's doable and what isn't. So,
yes,
while it might have an emotional, or it does have an emotional impact, there's that part that's able to say, I'm here, I'm doing what I can do, and I have to accept that maybe there are limits to what can be done.
There are. But I've been lucky because my kids do have autism, and I was at all their physical therapy and occupational therapy. When I see the children come in and they've got problems, I kind of know some exercises I could show the parents to get them to do.
Really?
So, yeah, so that kind of worked out pretty good.
Yeah. Wow. I wanted to ask you if you have any particular, words of wisdom perhaps that you would offer other military families who have a child or children with special needs?
Just get out there and find out what your options are. Don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself.
As far as the biggest challenges you face being on active duty and then having the girls with the special needs, what would you consider kind of the biggest overall challenge about the situation?
The biggest challenge was leaving them. And once I got out the door and got them off my leg, I was okay. It took a little while, but, you know, that was my biggest challenge, was leaving them. This was the first time I've been away from them.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how often do you get to talk to them?
I call them at least twice a week. Sometimes I can call more. It just depends on how busy I am. But they always get a call on sometime during the week.
So you're with the Navy, but this particular deployment is with the Marines. Is that
right? Well, I'm stationed with the Marines right now.
Okay. And I noticed in the biographical information you had two deployments on the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
Okay. Just kind of looking at your background. So this is your third deployment. And when were the others, Jennifer?
98 and 2000.
Okay. Now, if the this is third deployment to the AOR, is that area of responsibility?
Yes.
Okay. And so what area does that comprise?
Well, when I was on the ship, we just did the Persian Gulf, 6 months Persian Gulf, Westpac, they call them.
Okay. You said you're taking college courses?
Mm-hmm.
What are you studying?
Right now I'm just trying to get, like, my AA and bachelor's so I can go to PA school, physician assistant school.
Oh. Well, it sounds like you've enjoyed this work well, that would be a good fit.
Yes.
Yeah. When did you first think you might want to do that?
I go to the physician assistant school?
Yeah.
Probably the last few years. Once the babies were born, I needed to start thinking about something I could do once I retire from the military.
Yeah. Do you have a particular area of specialty that you're thinking about or not at this point?
Not at this point.
Okay. I've been in the Navy for 13 years.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
I know. Doesn't seem that long, though. It seems like just yesterday.
Does it?
It does.
That must be good. That seems like that's a good sign, then.
Yeah. I've enjoyed it.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to ask you to describe yourself, because I have the impressions that I'm gaining from just our time on them. Let's start with attitude. How do you describe your attitude?
I try to keep it positive as much as I can. That doesn't always work, though.
But you make a conscious effort.
I try to. It can be tough working with a bunch of men.
Yeah.
They get cranky.
So that's a challenge, but one that you're willing to go ahead and try to do from a positive perspective.
Yes.
Yeah. Just kind of looking at some other information that we have, because I want to make sure that we can really give a comprehensive information as much as we can. You know, one thing that was fascinating to me was when you mentioned that you see different children with Down syndrome and cerebral palsy. And it sounded like, if I understood that correctly, that's not uncommon for you to see that.
Out here? No, I usually see, when I go out to the villages, I usually see two or three children like that, or children that have been burned or blown up from bombs. I see that. I had a child the other day that had a fever so bad that once the fever broke, he's permanently brain damaged.
Oh.
No, he's five, and he just can't walk or talk.
Oh.
He's still being bottle fed.
Oh.
So we see some very, very normal children and some disabled children, too.
Yeah. how do you, just some of the things that you've described, what is your, what
you kind of have to put up a wall so it doesn't bother you too much. But I see the patient so fast that it doesn't, I don't really get a chance to let it sink in what I'm dealing with.
Yeah.
Because I'll see about 100 to 200 patients in 4 hours.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it happens so fast that, you know, when they come in with those kind of disabilities, there's not much I can do. So I just give them some vitamins and reassure the parents that, you know, keep doing a good job and here's something else you can try, and we'll give the children toys and all you can do. You can't dwell on it.
Yeah. And if you did, that would cause you problems.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do your have you told your girls that you're coming home at the end of the
day? Yes. They have a little calendar. They're marking off the days.
Yeah, I can imagine as the time approaches, it gets closer and closer. They're probably going to be, I can kind of see them jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, you know what? I'll talk specifically a little bit, too, with Mom. Is there anything else just specifically related to, you know, what's going on with your girls or the fact that you're deployed? And I guess maybe as I start to ask that question, I'll rephrase it because another one pops into my mind. When you get back, is I'm going to imagine here that it's a priority to go ahead and resume therapy at the greater extent, you know, they've been doing some things at home, kind of get that ball rolling again.
Actually, when I get home, they won't come back to me until the end of May because I want them to finish up school where they are now. I don't want to pull them out of school a month early and then put them into a brand new school. That'll just mess them up. So they're going to finish out the school that they're with my mom, and then my priority is finding a place to live and getting everything set up and ready for them when they do get there so that we can just start right in on a routine and it's not crazy and still trying to unpack and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want everything done before they get there.
Wow, that makes sense. And you're at New River?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and how far away are they?
Right now they're in Athens, Georgia.
And I honestly, I don't know, is that like 5 hours? Is that
about seven.
About 7 hours. You'll get
yeah.
to see them, but you'll be preparing for when they'll just be with you.
Yes. Well, my mom's going to bring them for when we fly in, whenever that is. I'll give her a date the closer we get. And so they're going to spend a week with me, and then they'll go back and finish up school. And while they're finishing up school, I'll get everything set up for them to come back.
That makes a lot of sense based upon what you're saying. The routine.
Yeah.
So probably a challenge to be a part, but also just wise decision-making to say.
Yes.
Jennifer, thank you. I've really
You're welcome. Thank you.
To talk with you.
Sure.
And I'll be in touch via email.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Take care.
All right. Bye. You too. Bye.